Talk to us about the business and make a case, a development case for investing in women in Africa.
So, I mean, I think what is really very important is that Africa, for Africa to reach its potential and to reach its human capital potential, they will not do that without reducing their fertility rates. Right now, the fertility rates in Africa are 4.8, while around the world, there are the fertility rate is 2.4. So, you know, as you can imagine, lower fertility rates leads to healthier mothers and children, greater labor productivity, increased per capita investment in the next generation of workers, and really unlocks the demographic dividend, which is what we want to do. And so the best way to support this transition is really to invest in women's and girls' empowerment, improve their education, improve their health, give them access to greater economic and employment opportunities. And it becomes even more important in COVID times, because the COVID crisis is hitting women particularly hard, because a lot of them were sort of these informal sector traders at the margins, and they are hit even harder because their small businesses are gone now, or closed. So we really need to just make sure that we redouble our efforts on women and girls. And I know it's not going to be easy, given countries have less resources right now, but at the same time, there's a lot that needs to be done and can be done. And putting money in this area is going to reap huge dividends in the future.
Right. And you said there's a lot that can be done.
Yes.
Be done. So what are some of the barriers that impede women's participation in business or in economic development? Are they mainly social? Are they mainly cultural? Some of them even codified in too low in some societies.
Yes, yes. I mean, I think you hit the nail on the head. It's a combination of all of these things. So, which is basically some laws, for example, which prevent pregnant girls from going to school. You need to put in laws which provide stronger legal protection against gender-based violence for women and children. So those are some of the things that really do need to sort of are barriers in some sense, which impact or go against stronger women and children and girls' participation in schooling, in the labor market, and so which inhibit women from doing or reaching up to their full potential.
Okay,
now I think that those are the types of things we should be working on,
as well as
investing in education and health opportunities which allow girls to go to school. And we've seen numerous examples from around the world that when those opportunities are open and available, girls do fantastically. The economy does very well.
Right.
So those are the types of things we need to do. Sorry.
Right. And you're right. Many studies have shown that some of the ways to empower women or girls is through education. However, we've seen around the continent, whether it's in sub-Saharan Africa or other parts of the developing world, that in many there are these persistent cultural attitudes that continue to impede girls' education. How does that change in the next 20 years as we are pursuing the sustainable development goals?
Excellent question, and not an easy answer, but I think it's a combination of several things. One is sort of lot of communication around the importance of investing in girls, in girls' education, investing in women, and showing that this reaps significant benefits for society and for the economy. That's number one, I think. Number two is to actually get the community leaders and community elders very much involved. It can be a message from the top, of course, which will be very important, but you really need the communities to actually buy into this message and to sort of getting them involved. Once you have your community leader saying that, yes, I need to make sure that girls in this village are going to school, it changes the whole dynamic. So, having dialogue with them and actually getting them to be your champions is going to be the most important thing. So we've seen, for example, in Bangladesh, that is what they did in the early 90s, where they got the religious leaders very much involved in supporting girls' education. And in a matter of one generation, the whole nature, system changed. There was the girls' enrollment rate doubled in one generation. These girls who then became women joined the labor market, started working. Bangladesh had this big garment industry. So all of that, you know, it changed the whole structure of the economy, and it really changed also the dynamics at the household level, with women having greater say in what was happening in the household because they also had economic power. And it was a really, I mean, for Bangladesh, that has been one of the most significant changes that has helped improve the
economy.
And you
see that, and you see that type of model also working in sub-Saharan Africa.
It very much could work in sub-Saharan Africa. We are doing some very innovative things with governments in the Sahel through our women's empowerment and demographic dividend programs, where we are basically working with them from sort of at early ages in terms of maternal and child health, trying to get girls into school, and then giving them access to employment opportunities, but always sort of making sure that, you know, the community is very well involved in the decision making and taking the lead in that, because I think once that also happens, it changes the dynamic very quickly. And I think we'll see within a generation or less, actually significant changes happening because of some of those types of interventions.
Right. And what are some of the lessons that we're learning now about the importance of women's participation in economic development during this time of a global pandemic, when most societies continue to see their economies decline?
It's a real challenge right now, I have to be honest, because you know, economies are still not fully recovered. I think it'll take a little bit more time, and that's why we think that the focus on this issue needs to be even more pronounced, because there have been gains that have been made over the last 20 years or so. So we risk losing that. And if we lose that, I think there's a significant multiplier effect of girls and women's being involved, girls' education, women being involved in the labor market, as we were talking about. And if we lose that, that is really going to take a long time to recover. And then to improve over the current condition, we are going to lose two or three generations. So I think the key message that we should be sending to policymakers and counterparts in countries is that please keep that focus on, please make sure that investment is not reduced. You have to make it more efficient, make sure that dollar stretches more, but please don't take that money away and invest it into something else, because you're really going to negatively impact future generations of your citizens and future economic growth.
Absolutely. Amit, thank you very much for taking time to speak to us today.
Not at all. My pleasure, Jackson.
All right. Have a good day. Thank you.
Thank you.